All right, let's take our Bible tonight and go over the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Last Sunday night, we preached out of Romans 6 and dealt with being free from sin, that we do not have to sin. There is nothing to have that can, nothing has to have control over us. And if there is, then we've let it have control over us. And we have become servant to it. But we have made that conscious decision where he said, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Then if it is in us, then we've let it happen. But tonight, I begin to pray this week and think about this week, as we preach on being made free from sin, we have to understand that, yes, we are free from sin, and no, we do not have to sin. But there is still a temptation there and still a tempter that is out there. And he wants you to sin. And your flesh will want to do its own thing sometimes. It really will, and it'll rire up. But I'm going to ask you to stand tonight one more time. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll read some more familiar scriptures we did this morning. But Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. If you happen to be here tonight, say amen.
Amen.
It's good to be here tonight, church. Mercy, we could. We was talking about this the other day. We decide everything on whether it's pre-COVID or post-COVID, and I hate that. I'll be honest. I hate keeping time, whether it's pre-COVID or post-COVID. But I can remember when it was hard to come to the house of God because of what was going on and things like that. And so it's a joy to get to be here tonight. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You can be seated tonight. Lord, would you help us while we might preach tonight for a little while? I pray that you would touch us and anoint us afresh and guard our mind and our thoughts and help us. And Lord, I pray that the need would be met tonight that is here. Maybe somebody that's lost. Maybe somebody needs encouragement. I pray whatever the need is that it would be met. We sure would like to see somebody get saved. But Lord, we'd really like to see folk get help too. Lord, we just ask tonight that your will would be done. I pray the songs that we've sung have uplifted your name. And thank you for the blood that was shed at Calvary so that we could be saved by it tonight. I pray you might help us, give us a clear thought pattern and guard our mind and our thoughts tonight. And I pray that you'd hinder Satan from this meeting tonight. And we'll tell you again that we love you. And thank you for saving us for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look in these scriptures, and I preached not too long ago out of verse 14 where he talked about the let us hold our profession and talked about holding fast on to some things. And one of them was our profession that we've made in Christ. And you can go over later on in the book of Hebrews and find out that we can hold our profession of faith fast because faithful is he that promised. And boy, we thank God tonight that I can hold on to my profession. My hope is in him tonight, and I thank God for that. But then the Bible said in verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, I was told to a preacher the other day, or I heard a preacher preaching, hard to remember sometimes, but he was talking about sin and temptation in the same sentence, and he was classifying them as the same thing. I want you to understand tonight, sin and temptation is not the same thing. Sin is iniquity and sin is disobedience and that unto God. But temptation tonight is the state of being tempted or enticed to evil. It is a solicitation to the passions of the flesh, or it is a trial tonight. And so when you read in your Bible and it talks about temptation, sometimes it's not necessarily talking about somebody that is being tempted to sin, but it is a temptation as a trial. And so we know tonight that, first of all, notice what he said in the text verse. Could you help us now? He said, as he's talking about Christ, he said, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Every one of us is going to be tempted tonight. You need to understand that and get a hold of that, that there is a temptation. 1 Corinthians 10 said this, there is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. You realize that temptation falls to every man or woman. It really does tonight. And if you're saved, then temptation is going to come your way. And you need to understand that. And I need to understand that. I think sometimes as I preach and talk about sin and living right, I think we miss sometimes that there is a tempter and a temptation out there. But we can still live free from sin just because there's a tempter and a temptation out there. But we find that, listen, if you're going to serve God, and if I'm going to serve God tonight, then we're going to go through trials, and we're going to be enticed, and that to get away from God. You look at Job, and God offered Job. You got to remember that. We'll talk about Job a little later on, but Job was offered in that to Satan. And you know, Job was offered because he was doing right. You realize that tonight, don't you? He was just and upright. He's one that feared God and eschewed evil, and still Satan come to bother him. I think there's a lot of people get in their mind, as long as I'm serving God, and as long as I'm selling out to God, Satan will not bother me. I'm just going to tell you tonight, probably the more you sell out to God, the more Satan's going to show up.
That's right.
The more you do for God, I'll guarantee you, the more he's going to show up. And so I just want to look at a few things about the tempter and temptation tonight. Take the Bible and go to the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and then we'll go to Luke chapter 4. And we find the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what I was reading about right here in the book of Hebrews. It said that we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the sin of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now we look in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus has just been baptized. Heaven has just rung out and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And you find in verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now notice what happens right here. Notice what happens. Notice who came. Notice in verse 1 that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of who? The devil. What's he called in verse 3? He's called the tempter. So who are we fooling with? Or who's trying to fool with us? Who is our adversary? Well, the devil is. At least I'm going to tell you nothing tonight that you don't know. But I want you to get in your mind that you have an enemy. You have somebody out there that is trying to make you fail. And that in serving God in your flesh. You know, that's how we serve God, ain't it? We serve God in our flesh. In this body. It's with this body that we serve God. Look at Luke chapter 4 tonight. You can go over there real fast. We find a little more about this story of him being tempted. In Luke chapter 4, look in verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, now notice what's going on right here. We learn a little more about this story right here as he's led into the wilderness. Notice he said, being 40 days tempted of the devil. A lot of times we think that he fasted for 40 days and then was tempted of the devil. But I believe, according to the book of Luke, that while he was fasting, he was tempted of the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he's in the wilderness, and he's led there in that by the Spirit of God. And as the devil being the tempter, he comes to him at one of the most weakest points in his life. Do you realize that tonight? And what have I always told you, church? Satan does not play fair. He never has played fair. He never has. He will kick you while you're down. He will bother you while you're down. While you're in the midst of a trial, it's when he'll show up and make it even worse if we ain't careful here. Sometimes even if we are careful, we can't change what's going on. It was at the weakest point in his flesh. Notice it said right here that afterward he hungered. If you go back in that to the book of Matthew chapter 4, it said right here, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungered. I mean, listen, 40 days. I mean, I think the most I've ever fasted 2 days because I was trying to get in touch with the Lord, and 3 days because the doctor made me. I wouldn't have fasted him 3 days had the doctor not made me. That wasn't exciting at all. I guess I should have turned it into something that I could get out of the Lord, but I'll just tell you, but listen, after 3 days, that's enough. I mean, I was ready to eat after that. I had my colon surgery. I mean, I was ready to eat, but he's went 40 days. 40 days with nothing to eat. I mean, can you imagine what that does to you? And that physically he's tired. Physically he's wore out. Physically he's hungry. And I don't know what that's doing to him mentally. I do know he's the Son of God. I understand that. But he was in the same flesh that me and you were in. And I could not imagine what that was doing to him. And then Satan shows up. And he tempts and he works against the flesh. It was at the weakest point that he shows up. I meant to say this at the beginning of the message. I hate the devil. Amen. I hate him. Because you know why? He hates me. And he hates you tonight. And he wants to do whatever he can to get us to fail in serving God. You know, the thing about the devil is he's got some people just rocked to sleep, and that spiritually. He's got some people that really don't care. I mean, you come to church on Sundays and on Wednesdays, and but really, God's not really in any other part of your life that much. He'll attract you with things that you like. He'll worry you to death with things that you don't like. Has Satan ever just worried you to death? Has he just bothered you and put you through? Just through a trial. It just tried you. Have you ever been tried? I mean, that's what Satan wants to do. And see, as long as we're in that trial, as long as we're going through that trial, you know, somebody once said, you're either coming out of a trial, going into a trial, in the midst of a trial. And that may be true. But I'll get there here in a minute, but I'm glad there's somebody there to help us. Amen. But he'll worry you to death. And listen, and here's the thing. It may be something that let me see how I can get this right. It may be a trial. It may be something that is appealing to your flesh. Or it may be something as much as this, is that you're not willing to forgive somebody. What do you mean? You know, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is talking about that the church needs to forgive that feller that was in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe. And he said this, as he's talking about forgiveness, he said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. He's talking about forgiveness right there. And see, Satan can get the better of us even if we wouldn't forgive somebody. We go back to what we preached on this morning about bitterness and malice and all these things. And so he tempts us and we go through the trials. The Lord Jesus Christ, I found this very interesting. Notice in chapter 4 of the book of Matthew, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit Luke chapter 1 said, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So the Spirit knew exactly what was going to take place. I'm pretty sure the Lord Jesus Christ knew what was about to take place too. You ever think that he might have been fasting because he was facing that temptation? Maybe that's something, if you're facing a trial or a temptation, maybe that's what you need to be doing, and what I need to be doing is fasting. And say, Lord, we need some help right here. This is something I can't get a handle of. This is something that I can't get a hold of. Lord, you're going to have to help me right here. And to show him how serious that we are about this thing, might need to be fasting about some things. Why does he tempt us? You ever think about that? Why does he just not leave us alone? Has he not read the end of the book? Does he not know we win in the end? Of course he knows we win in the end. I mean, he can read just as well as me and you can. He knows what that book says. I mean, he knows where his end is at. There's no way around it. And by the way, he knows more scripture than you do. Amen. He does. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Matthew and Luke both, when the Lord is over there talking to him, and every time, you know, the first time, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You remember at the end of chapter 3? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's what God said from heaven. And the very first thing that Satan said, if thou be the Son of God. Well, heaven's done declared him to be the Son of God. But yeah, Satan says, if you're the Son of God, then command that these stones be made bread. And it is written, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Notice who's living by that. Man is. Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, there's the question again, cast thyself down, for it is written. Satan is now using scripture. He shall give thee his charge. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He took that out of context, by the way. But notice what Jesus said in verse 7. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I can tell you right now, scripture ain't going to contradict itself. Satan took it and twisted it and wrested it. He's been doing that since day one. Yea, hath God said. Is that not what he said in Genesis chapter 3? Yea, hath God said. That's always been the question since day one. Did God really say what he said? Did he mean what he said? He'll tempt you to not even believe the book. He'll get you to question the book. He'll get you to question the authority of the book. Of a good King James Bible. He'll get you scratching your head, saying, well, is really that the right book? Really, can't we use another? I don't know why somebody else wants to use something else. Well, I can't understand that. Read and pray. Pray and read. Read and pray. I mean, that's how I learned it. I read it, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I read it. Is it really that simple, preacher? It's really that simple. If you're saved, you pray and you read. And you read and you pray. And God will give you insight on this thing. But why does he tempt? Because he does not want me and you to serve God. One, he does not want us to be happy. You know, I don't think the devil's happy. I don't think he's happy at all. He does not want us to be happy. And he does not want the Lord. He does not want the Lord Jesus Christ to have worship. He does not want him to have praise. He does not want us to give our life to him and serve him. And listen, if he can make the one thing that is on the face of the earth that has a will, that can choose to worship or not worship God, and get us to fail at that thing, then he's done his job. You do not have to worship him. You do not have to serve him. But as long as you're not serving God, then Satan's done his job. What was it that Satan kept telling the Lord about Job? He said, I'm going to tell you what he's going to do, God. He's going to curse you to your face. Ain't that what he said? I mean, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, he said he'll curse you to your face. And he wanted Job to turn on God. But Job never did. He just kept trusting God. But the temptation. We see the tempter. We have an adversary. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's out to get you to quit serving God. Now, I want you to listen to me tonight. This is very serious. This is very, to be honest with you, it's probably more serious than what I preached last Sunday night, if you want to know the truth. And I'm going to tell you why, because I think most of us in here tonight really get the part that we are freed from sin. We just don't act like it sometimes, but I think we really get that. But I think sometimes we fail to remember that there's somebody out there trying to destroy us. He's after your testimony. He's after my testimony. You know, if he can get me in sin, then he's ruined my testimony. Get me disqualified from preaching. Get me disqualified from pastoring this church. I mean, and listen, he'll do you the same way. But there is the temptation. That trial, or that enticement. The trial. You know, what did he say in James 1? He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." That scripture is hard to understand. No, it's easy to understand. It's hard to do. I understand the scripture. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." I know what he's saying there, but that's hard to do. You know, that word "divers" means many and different. He said, so when you fall into divers temptations, he said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Listen, when your faith gets tried, that's going to bring some patience into your life. But he said, count it all joy. I don't find temptation. I don't find trials. I don't find enticement to make want to make me sin and that joyful. But he said, it is. Blessed is a man that endured temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Just a few verses later, which the Lord had promised to him that love him, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with either evil, neither tempteth he any man. God don't tempt us with evil. I've heard people blame God for a lot of things, but I can tell you right now, God does not tempt us with evil tonight. When you're thinking wrong, when you know you're thinking wrong, when you're getting enticed away by the drawing of your flesh, I'm telling you right now, it ain't God tonight. As I looked at this, I thought about the Apostle Paul. He got saved in Acts chapter 9. Saul of Tarsus become the Apostle Paul. But remember what he told Ananias over there? God sent Ananias over and said, you need to go over there and pray for Saul, you know. And Ananias, I mean, he was just obedient to the call of the Lord. And there's a good story in there about just Ananias. The Bible tells a whole lot about Ananias. But he said, you need to go over and you need to pray for him. And he got over and if I ain't mistaken, he called him Brother Saul, didn't he? He sent him for what he was. He'd got saved. But you know what the Lord was telling Ananias? And let me say this. Just think about this for a second. Reckon what kind of man Ananias was that God was sending him over there to pray for Saul of Tarsus, who was going to become the apostle. But think about that for just a second. That God was going to use him and send him over there. But you know what he told Ananias? He said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So he's going to suffer. Going to go through trials. Going to go through temptations. And Satan at his best will try to get us to fail and get us to quit. He will entice us. He's used riches on people. You know, but they that will be rich, fall into a temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. I mean, he talks about what riches can do. And there's a lot of people out there, they're traveling after that almighty dollar. And like I say, if you can handle it, great. If you can't, learn what you can. God will help you. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people quit God over money. A lot of men got messed up because of women. Look at Proverbs 7 over there, the strange woman. Let not thine heart decline unto her ways, go not astray unto her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Said she's going to get you. A lot of ladies, a lot of men, a lot of women been enticed by men. Worldly matters. I'm talking about the temptation itself and that to get drawn away of our own lust. Go to the book of James tonight. Go to the book of James. James, is it James 1? I believe that's where I need to be at. James chapter 1. Yeah, just a few verses past. What a scene. Something in my water. She's trying to poison me. Look in verse 14. James chapter 1 verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. See what it does? Lust conceives, and so it brings forth sin. And sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Wages of sin is death. We understand that. So you see what happens. The tempter comes, then temptation comes, and if you fall into that temptation, if you give in to that thing, if you quit in the middle of that trial, what was it we seen in Sunday school this morning? If you quit in the middle of adversity, then your strength is small. A lot of people quit in the middle of the fight. But I heard a good message on that this morning. In preaching about Gideon, you know. Faint yet pursuing. As a lot of people quit and their strength is small. You realize to fight Satan that, friend, you have got to buck up. You have got to endure hardness. You have just got to fight some days. Just got to fight. He went on to say in verse 16 of the book of James, do not err, my beloved brethren. Err to fall away from the truth, you know. So there is a tempter who comes. And I think we understand that. And the temptation comes. And I'm going to tell you right now, the more you want to do for God, the more the tempter is going to bother you. Let me ask you, does he bother you? I think that's a good question, isn't it? But tonight, we look, go back to the text verse to the book of Hebrews. And you know what it said? That we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with fear. In other words, he can be of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You notice what he's saying right here? He's talking about temptation. He's talking about being tempted. And then he tells us we've got the throne of grace to come to. So we find the tempter and we find temptation, and then we find our Savior is the one who helps us. You realize he's been there. He knows what you're going through. And he done it without sinning. He knows what it's like to be, for 40 days and 40 nights, he's been tempted and he was fasting. And I really believe at the end of those 40 days and 40 nights, I believe that that's when Satan come and done all that he did that the Bible talks about. And if you read in Mark chapter 1 about that, then the Bible said that at the end of that thing, the angels come ministered unto him. You know, let me go back to Luke chapter. I want to read you something that I believe it's in Luke chapter 4. Before I move on. In Luke chapter 4, as he's talking about this right here. We come down to the end of the story, if you let me say it that way. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. He just left him for a little while. It wasn't a one-shot deal. It wasn't a one-time deal. It wasn't a 40-day and 40-night deal, and then it was over. Boy, I wished it was. I really do. I wished it was, but I don't know about you, but I wake up every morning and I face that sucker. I mean, I face my flesh, but I face him too. But I'm glad there's somebody on my side. And that's the Savior tonight. He's been where we're at now. He understands what it's like and that to have to face temptation. He understands what it's like to go through what we're going through. And the Bible said right here that we have a throne of grace and that to go to find mercy and grace to help. 2 Peter chapter 2, he said, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." He knows how to get the godly out of temptation. Hebrews chapter 2 put it this way, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted," talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "he is able to succor them that are tempted." That word "succor" means to run, to support, to help, or to relieve in difficulty, or to help or in assistance or to aid. He knows what to do. He knows how to help us. We just need to run to him. Man, I hate the devil tonight. Paul said this, "There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful." Ain't that a wonderful thought? God is faithful. God's faithful to do what? What is God faithful to do? God's just faithful. That's his name. Faithful. But God is faithful to do what? "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." So God is faithful to come by and give us help that he talks about in Hebrews chapter 4, that we can find grace and mercy to help in a time of need. He is faithful and that not to let us be tempted above what we were able. He knows what our abilities. He knew what Job was capable of. You ever heard somebody say, I couldn't help it? Well, that's really a lie. One, we've been freed from sin, right? Romans 4 or Romans 6, we've been freed from sin. But right here the Bible says, if you're saved and you believe the Bible, "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able." God will help us. God will strengthen us. I'm telling you, I'm going to hate facing after a while and tomorrow. Man, I know. But I do know there's a God in heaven that'll help me. "But will with the temptation also make a way to escape." He said, look, there is an escape of that temptation. Not that you'll get away from it. Not that God will take it away from you. But that you may be able to what? Bear it. In other words, that you can go through it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it is. The Apostle Paul's going through trials. He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." He said the messenger of Satan was coming to buffet him. That means to beat on him. Has he ever beat on you? "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." So we go to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in a time of need in the midst of our tribulation and our trial and our temptations. Because why? God is faithful. He'll not allow us to be tempted above what we're able. He'll make an escape that we can bear it. And he'll help us through it. Job did not ask to be put in the position that he was in, but nonetheless, he was put in it. He did not understand why he was in what he was in. At times he even wondered if God was still around. At times he wondered what was going on. I believe he was a man that was used to talking to God. Because if you read Job, especially Job chapter 23, I believe it is, he said, man, if I can just get before him, I'd tell him everything's happening. And he was, listen, Job wasn't being tempted to sin, but Job was being tempted to quit is what Job was being tempted to do. Just curse God and die. That's all he had to do. And Satan even had his own wife after him. I mean, is that not what she come out there and said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? Let me put it in this vernacular if I could. He couldn't catch a break on nothing, could he? His children are dead. His finances are gone. His wife has told him, won't you just curse God and die? His friends, the miserable comforters ye are, he said. And he couldn't even talk to God. And his health was failing. And he made it through it. Amen. He made it through it. And I think sometimes that I face a big problem at times. There's one in heaven that will help us. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Boy, aren't you glad we can obtain mercy? Mercy is God. Man, I'm telling you, mercy and grace, they're just first cousins to each other. You know, we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Man, he just gives us what we really don't deserve, if you want to know the truth. He just helps us. Because we're His. He'll help us through all our trials and our temptations. Through all our problems. He'll help us get control of our flesh. Amen. I remember telling the Lord that one time, Lord, if you don't help me right here, I ain't going to be able to win this if you don't help me. You know, I'd actually forgot that till just the other day. You say, what do you mean you forgot it? Sometimes we just forget that we just got to really get honest with God and say, Lord, this thing's bigger than I am. This trial's bigger than I am. This temptation's bigger than I am. But I know it ain't bigger than you. And I know you can handle it. And if you'll help me, I'll get through it. I'm telling you tonight, that may be what you need to do. You just might need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, this thing's bigger than I am. I don't know how to handle it, but I know you do. Would you help me? Let's bow our heads tonight. If we would, Brother Marvin, come to the piano tonight. Brother Jeff, let's get a verse tonight if we would. I don't know what you're facing and what you're going through, but I know that me and you are in the same flesh. I want you to listen to me tonight because you might need some help. I really want you to listen to me. You might need some help. And you might not need that help right now. And you might not have ever faced anything that I've talked about tonight that it seemed like that the walls was closing in and it seems like your world was coming to an end. And you may not have ever been there. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're going to serve Christ and you're going to do it with all your heart and you're going to do it long enough, you're going to have to face Satan. And you're going to face trials and you're going to face temptations. And you need to get a hold of that. You really, really need to get a hold of that tonight. That boy Jesus wants to help you. He's there to help you tonight.